Welcome back to hour three of Brighteon TV's coverage of the 2020 midterms. We're getting a lot of numbers in here, and it looks like the red wave is happening. So we're actually quite thankful for that. Even with a lot of the, it always swings blue initially because a lot of those liberal northeast states kind of come in first, and it's looking pretty promising from what I'm seeing. I'm going to bring my good friend Alex Newman on. He has a show on this platform. He's on Lindell TV. He has the LibertySentinel.org. Alex, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
I tell you what, it's a whirlwind here, brother. I mean, I'm used to 1 hour and two guests, and now we've got 5 hours and 60 guests. So give us a report from down there in Florida. What are you seeing other than the hurricane bearing down on you?
Yeah, well, we are under a mandatory evacuation order here. So it was interesting working the polls with massive rain coming down and crazy wind. But hey, just another day in Florida. But good things happening so far in the results as far as we can tell. Unfortunately, the establishment Republican Party here was able to knock out a lot of the best candidates in the primaries. So we do have a lot of establishment Republicans that are winning. But it does look like the Democrats are getting absolutely crushed from what we've seen on the count for Ron DeSantis. He is absolutely demolishing Charlie Crist, who was literally like the very definition of a rhino, right? He used to be our governor. He was a Republican in name only. Then he officially came out of the closet. Now he's out there campaigning as a radical left-wing Democrat. His top issues are we should murder more babies, children's private parts should be chopped off. I mean, it's absolutely grotesque. So it shows you that the rhino problem is real. But so far, what we're seeing at the state level looks very promising. The federal races so far look very promising. Lots of Republicans winning in the House, lots of Republicans winning in the Senate. And so that's encouraging. We expect to see more of that, but we are getting reports of irregularities all over the place. I'm sure some of your other guests have talked about this. I'm just looking at some of the stuff that's going on around the country, seeing what's happening in Arizona. It's truly horrific. And I'll tell you what, I was really uncomfortable putting my ballot into an electronic voter machine. I have no way of knowing whether that machine accurately counted what was on my ballot. And frankly, with everything that's been happening, I don't see why anybody should trust these machines to count the votes properly. So I'm hoping we're going to have some serious audits after all this is done. They knew that the red wave was going to be so huge, they couldn't possibly cheat to the point where Democrats would win. But you know, a race here, a race here, knock out a good conservative over here can have very, very profound implications. So I think all of us need to be keeping our eyes peeled for this. And I know Raj is going to be on later. He really has done extraordinary work in trying to ensure election integrity here in Florida. I wish we had a Raj in every state or 10 Rajas in every state because, I think the election system is still out of control. I watched just absolutely in horror at what happened in Brazil, basically a replay of what we had in 2020 here. And, I think we all need to be on guard. We cannot trust the totalitarians for a single moment. And I don't understand why we don't just go back to what worked for hundreds of years. You put your paper ballot in a box. Everybody gets to watch the ballots being counted. There's no reason we need these ridiculous machines as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you must have been listening to the last hour because I said we need to absolutely trash every one of these voting machines and go back to paper ballots because I said Biden's already come out and said, oh, guys, the election's not going to be settled for days. We've got to count all these ballots. Well, if we're going to count them for 3-4 days out, let's just go to all paper ballots. So I agree with you. That has to be the national push right now is the total destruction of every electronic voting machine.
Yeah, no question about it. When you look at the polling data, the majority of Americans are concerned about election integrity. It's not even a partisan issue. Now you got a bunch of Democrat bobbleheads running around saying Republicans are going to try to cheat. Why are we putting up with this? This is not a partisan thing. Just go back to paper ballots, smash the stupid machines, and let that be the end of it. And we can just go back to doing it how we used to do it. You put your ballot in a box. At the end of the night, you get Republicans, you get Democrats, you get representatives of every campaign. You dump the ballots on the floor. You count them in front of everybody. And then there's no question. Then we can all go home and sleep in peace knowing at least that the result was accurate.
Amen, brother. Look, hey, we appreciate you taking your time out. Get your family to safety. You got another hurricane to dodge down there. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, brother. Great to be here, and keep up the great work.
All right. All right. Next up is our good friend Raj Doraisamy, who Alex Newman just mentioned. He's with Defend Our Union. He's doing a massive amount of great work down there. It seems like Florida is one of those states where we really got the fighters. You might have to export some of those to some of these other states. So, Raj, can you hear me?
I can hear you well, John. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Everything looks and sounds good. Give us an update from Florida.
Yes, so thank you. I'm actually here at the headquarters of the America Project. They're actually hosting us here. I have a number of my colleagues here. Chris Gleason is here next to me. We got Chris Jurski in Orlando. And what these guys are doing is they're working with the supervisor, the Secretary of State Coalition, and they are reporting in, monitoring what's happening in Florida. The Secretary of State Coalition, which is a coalition of Secretary of States of all of the major swing states, are collaborating together to bubble up information like we have never done before. So the work that Alex talked about, that you talked about, is really being done by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of volunteers on the ground. But let's get right down to election day in Florida. So a couple of things here that are happening. Number one, in Lee County, which is just south of where I am, Lee County is one of the three counties that was most impacted by Hurricane Ian that happened just recently. And so in those counties, the procedures for elections have been shifted. Infrastructure was damaged. Buildings were not operational and so on. And so unfortunately what happened in Lee County is the number of locations to vote got drastically reduced. So that was one thing that happened. The second thing is that people went to vote and they were directed to vote using touchscreens. So this is a big thing for Florida, because in Florida, most of our counties, you fill out a paper ballot, you mark it by pen, and then you put it in the scanner. But this was using a touchscreen, and so that was a change that we didn't expect. So that's what happened there. In other and in those locations, if you didn't ask for a paper ballot, you had to use a touchscreen. And so some people actually did ask for a paper ballot. They insisted on having a paper ballot, and they were given that paper ballot. So why did I mention that? This is how we recover our country, where citizens understand what their rights are and are confident, professional, and ask for them. So that's one update. The next update is the Department of DOJ, the Department of Justice, apparently wanted to send their observers into our state. And I want to just acknowledge the Secretary of State, the Secretary of State, Cord Byrd. Cord Byrd had a letter written and informed the Department of Justice, this is not your jurisdiction. You do not have a role to play within our election process. And he bounced that back. So thank you very much, Secretary Cord Byrd. Also, another thing here, my colleague has just let me know that Bay News 9 has just called the governor race in Florida for Governor DeSantis. That is going to Bay News 9. So that is huge. That is a big deal. That is a thing that was stressing us out. That is what created Defend Florida. We want to protect Florida. And also, I think Laura Luma, is that a thumbs up for Laura?
Anna Paulina Luna.
They're calling the race for her as well. So that was another highly contested race. Again, I don't know if that's actually going to happen. I'm just sharing with you that Bay News 9, one of our stations, has called it for that particular person. A couple of other updates here. When people went to vote, this is in Hillsborough County, they went to vote, and first, the doors were not open in Hillsborough County in a particular location. So the lady, Ninfa, is the person who actually reported this. She let us know that when she went to vote, she was unable to vote because they said they didn't have her ballot for a precinct. She immediately went out and called the Republican Task Force. She called the governor's office. She called the attorney general. And within 20 minutes, whatever was going on in that precinct got rectified, and she was able to vote. So I'm sharing these things that show how citizens, regular people, understood their rights, understood what's available, professionally conducted themselves in a manner that had a good outcome. So that's a few things happening from Florida. I want to ask, if you're watching this and you're interested in getting training, you heard a lot of folks talk about that, simply get the training by texting the word DEFEND. You can see it right here. Text the word DEFEND 9-1776. You can get access to your training. And unfortunately, because the Biden administration has set this thing up,
I think you just muted Rob. You're doing over there. We're going to go ahead and jump on to our next guest, Jason Yates. Jason, are you with us? I tell you what, just for the audience here, Jason Yates is with My Faith Votes. He has been doing a wonderful job. You want to talk, when we talk about one person can't make a difference, tell you what, this man has made a difference and built a massive organization. He's got the support of Colonel Alan West and Mike Huckabee. He's doing a lot to get the church awake and active. So I'd love to thank you for coming on the show. Just tell the people a little bit about your organization.
Well, thanks, John. You know, voting for people of faith is not only something we do because we are citizens of this great nation, but because it is acting as salt and light. It's bringing the influence of our faith into the public square. It's doing it so that we bring good and we resist evil, right? And the Bible speaks about that. So we've been doing a lot of things to activate Christians across this nation, because we know historically one in three Christians does not vote consistently. And in fact, in midterm elections, it's even less than that. And so these elections are really important. There's a lot at stake that we all know, whether it's parental rights, life, and what the left is calling reproductive freedom. I want to talk about that in a minute. And, you know, what's happening in our schools, what's happening in our communities, all of these things really matter. And so My Faith Votes has been equipping Christians, empowering them through a multitude of ways. We have reached 100,000, over 100,000 pastors, given them tools and resources to equip their congregations, to encourage them to vote, yes, but to vote biblically, to understand what does the Word of God say about these really important issues. And we're activating, equipping them there. But beyond that, we have an incredible group of about 12,000, what we call action partners. It's across the United States, and it's in every state. John, these people sent over 600,000 postcards and letters to other Christians in critical swing states to encourage them to vote. And we know it works. We did this in Virginia. These things have impact. And so that's powerful. The other thing is we're using data and technology to deliver targeted digital ads to Christians who haven't historically voted and encouraging them to vote. And in Virginia, we saw a 50% increase in Christian voter turnout for those people that received these ads. So we're trying to work smart. We're trying to do really good, powerful, impactful things. We know that's working. But there's been a lot of talk so far on this show, this program, about the individual races. And I know that you have a lot more people coming up who are going to be talking about that. So I want to take an opportunity, John, and talk a little bit about some of the ballot measures mm-hmm. that are on the ballot this year in some key states. And two kinds of ballot measures in particular. One is the atrocious abortion, or what the left tries to rename it as reproductive freedom rights. Three states in particular I want to focus on: California, Michigan, and Vermont. They have these on the ballot. Let me tell you, John, and you know this already, but these ballot measures go far beyond Roe v. Wade, even though what's being said in the media is, oh, we're just trying to establish a state constitutional right to an abortion, just to codify Roe in those states. Well, let me tell you, these go so far beyond codifying Roe. They give a right to an abortion all the way up to birth. It means that the legislature has no say any longer. It is all the way up to birth, making it the most extreme and worse than even North Korea and China. So is that what we want in those states? But beyond those things, there is no age level towards that. And what I mean by that is these are rights that are would be attributed to everyone, regardless of how old you are, which, of course, that means there are no means for parents to have a say. So these kids will be able to go and have an abortion, but it goes beyond it because they've called it reproductive freedom rights. So they can start taking gender transformation hormones and without parental consent. Mm-hmm. The parents have no say on these things. So these are really important things to watch. Frankly, I fully expect Vermont to pass this. It's going to be very, very interesting to see what Michigan does. Mm-hmm. Because if Michigan passes this and offers a constitutional amendment to their state constitution, then the liberal progressives are going to take this and they're going to call it a playbook for every other state. And they are going to, in 2024, try and ram this down every single state. It's important that we watch that and look at those states and what's happening there.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. You're the first one to bring up the ballot measures, and those are things that can be used against us, and we can use them in our favor too. So coming up here in the next couple of years, we really need to get some favorable ballot measures, you know, on our behalf. So Jason Yates, My Faith Votes, I appreciate you coming on today.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
All right, brother. All right, next up is our good friend Rich Swingle. He is with Intercessors for America. David Kubal is the one that actually opened up our show today. And Rich has become a real good friend of mine. I've been on his show and vice versa, and they've interviewed me. Wonderful work in media. And now I just learned he has a background in journalism, so that suits him fine for our purposes. Rich, you're coming from New York, I understand.
Yes, I am. And we are not going to, the polls will not be closed until 9 p.m. So I have no firm results to report. However, I will tell you that 9 p.m. is better than November 14th, which is a rumor I heard on our New York prayer team call last night. We get on all 50 states last night at 8 p.m. in their own time zones, got together and prayed for these elections.
Good.
With Intercessors for America. It was so powerful. I was on with three different states. I was on with, of course, with New York. And I also hopped on with Michigan. No one was on there, but then a couple people popped on also to try and get on. It had closed at closer to the hour, but I hope they'd still be going so I could pray against Proposition 3, which was just mentioned by My Faith Votes. Thank you so much for tracking with that. Such a heinous, straight out of the pit hell proposition. And I covered that in an article this morning on headlineprayer.org. And an interview with Janet Porter, architect of the Heartbeat Bill, who's been going around Michigan, sending the rally cry, letting people know how very awful that proposition is. I will tell you this, Lee Zeldin, who is the Republican, is trending on Twitter today. So that is very hopeful. And Governor Hochul was trending a few days ago. She was recently telling pastors, be my apostles to the unvaccinated who aren't listening to God. Okay, our Constitution protects us from that kind of tyranny. So that was just completely wrong for her to take the pulpit and try to influence pastors from a seat of government.
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. Dr. John, would you not agree?
Without a doubt. And the thing that I really love about Intercessors for America, and like I said, I've been doing this a long time. So when these organizations started up as kind of fledgling organizations, I've watched them evolve over time. We just had Jason Yates from My Faith Votes. And I mean, what they've transformed into is a powerhouse. And then the same thing with Intercessors for America, where they just say, send in your prayer requests and we'll pray for you. Man, they've become able to rival like CNN with as far as news reporting, because they're reporting on stuff that the other mainstream media won't even report on. So if you're an intercessor, of course I'd recommend that you go to Intercessors for America, but just go to their website and read. I go there and just look, and it's like, man, look at these news stories. You're hearing about legislation that's being enacted that nobody knows about. I mean, that's the great thing about what you and David are doing over at that organization.
Yeah, we're trying to keep our finger on the pulse of what's going on. We started in 1973 in a reaction to Roe v. Wade, but we have really tried to stay on top of what's going on in the culture and to get our intercessors praying with laser accuracy. So my wife Joyce and I both report for them, and we're on their show, Pray With Others Live. It's just been a real blessing to us to have that avenue. But I will say that Catherine Hochul was trending on Twitter a couple of days ago, but it was mostly because of a photo of a black Republican being choked by a Democrat. Think about how viral that photo would have been had it been a Democrat, a black Democrat being choked by a Republican. But because it's the other way around, we only know it through social media and those who are getting the word out. And Catherine Hochul had nothing at all to say about that. And that's why I think her name was trending on Twitter a couple of days ago. And I will say, too, that there's a large movement among the Jewish people in New York City to push out Catherine Hochul. I found a wonderful little video of these Jewish Democrats urging people to vote Republican. There's this couple. They're just charming. And they got on and they said, hey, we're Democrats, but we got to urge you to vote for Lee Zeldin. We got to push Catherine Hochul out of here. She is destroying our state with all of these, we took $1 billion away from our police force in New York City. $1 billion. Cool. What message does that send to the criminals? Yeah. And Catherine Hochul has been all for this, and she's trying to pretend everything's just fine, but I'll tell you what, Dr. John, people on the streets in New York know it is not business as usual. There are crime wave is rife. It is rising. And I'm hoping that we're seeing the Democrats pushed out. Letitia James is running for attorney general. President Trump called her a corrupt official doing the dirty work of your party. Chuck Schumer, the Speaker of the Senate, the legacy press called the 2020 election, he was rallying the people on the street. We're going to get rid of the filibuster. We're going to pack the Supreme Court. He's just wanting to run this nation into the ground. And I'm really praying he goes down tonight. Yeah. Jerry Nadler, I saw him declare that Antifa is just an idea. Well, you know what? I was in Portland, Oregon, where every single building in downtown Portland, I'm not even exaggerating, every building in the downtown was either tagged with graffiti or the windows were boarded up because people had broken them in. And that was Antifa. They have a base camp overlooking Portland. They've got medics because they know they're going to get violent. They've got lawyers on site ready to sue anyone who touches an Antifa member. Yeah. I talked to a guy who saw his friend gunned down.
Rich, we have to take a hard break here. We need to get to some other guests. Hey, good work. Give our love to everybody at IFA for me, please.
Will do, and keep praying for New York.
Absolutely. Thank you, brother. All right, we're going to go ahead and jump on over to Amy Shepherd. Hey, there she is, Amy Shepherd with CJ. Book It with CJ. How are you, Amy? I think you got to unmute there. Amy's coming to us from West Virginia.
Good evening, John.
Hey, how's West Virginia?
Oh, West Virginia's good. I'm extremely blessed to live in such a red state, but just really resonating with some of the other speakers here that have been talking about praying for our elections, because I've been hearing horror stories all day long from friends of mine in other places that are not quite as red. In Virginia, we were just voting on our incumbents.
We can go all the way to...
have been backed. What's that, John? Both of them had been backed by President Trump in the past. So I was able to vote for Alex Mooney today, and he's extremely pro-life. So that was a great blessing for me. But something that was most interesting to me was that we were voting on amendments for our state's constitution. And one of the amendments really caught my eye. It was the legislative approval of the State Board of Education. And what they're basically asking for is that the school board would be made accountable to the citizens and open the policies of the board to transparency. So I was super encouraged by that, because as we know, our school boards have gotten away with a lot of things for way too long.
Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, I'll tell you what, you guys have been very active. For those who don't know, her and Amy and CJ, you know, handle all the media at the Clay Clark Reawaken events, and they've been such an absolute blessing to us. Travel all over the country, and quite a sacrifice to do what they do. So, Amy, keep us updated on West Virginia, and I appreciate you coming on today.
Absolutely, John. Thanks so much for having me. And if you'd like to reach out, please look for me on misinformation.tv. Have a wonderful night.
Amen. Thanks for plugging that. I forgot about your new show there. All right, let me jump right on to J.R. Harrison. J.R. has been a good friend of mine for about 15 years. He's been working with Coach Dave. He stresses really the natural family. He's got a website, naturalfamilystrong.com. J.R. Is coming from Ohio. Welcome to the program, J.R.
Thank you, Brother John. And the current governor of Ohio, they declared, I think, at 8:01 that he had won the election.
So, do you mean the Democrat that you got masquerading as a Republican?
Well, I think she gave in about 1 till 8. Anyway, he won at 8:01. You know, I want to kind of piggyback on what Jason said, and amen what Rich said. The ballot issues, and the ballot issues that I look at, John, are the levies and how much more money the people are giving to the state, to the county, to the schools, to the cities. And it just fascinates me in this day and age of inflation, how many levies are going to pass. In this day and age where schools are basically abusing children, confusing them about their sex, yet we continue to pump money into that system. So I would watch those, and I would caution anybody that did all their work and got their candidate elected to say to them that your job just began. The hard work starts now. You have to support that individual. You got to stay on them and make sure that they stay on task in terms of what you expected them to do. In the past, we've basically our officials and then went back to our caves and started singing Kumbaya and getting in touch with our God feelings. And we left them out there all alone. And we know that they have two jobs. One's to get elected. You help do that. And the other is to stay elected. And that is key and important to them. And if you aren't there to support them during their work, then shame on you. Shame on you.
All right.
I just want to caution them.
Yeah, no, and I'm glad you brought that up, because, like I said, different guests have been bringing on. You brought up the levies. Other people brought up the different initiatives that are out there, prop this, prop that. So it isn't, you know, just I'm voting for the Democrat for House or for Senate. It is about watching those levies. It's about watching those different propositions that they try to codify things into the Constitution. How's Ohio looking for you? Have you been following up on? Is it primarily red like it normally is, except for Cincinnati and Cleveland?
I think it's going to end up that way, but I always watch the liberal news, which is CBS, and they like to promote all the liberal candidates first. So you'll see the liberal candidates winning during the first portion, and then as it gradually goes on, it'll get closer and closer and closer. You know what I'm talking about? They like to, I don't know, whether they're we're masochistic for watching them, but it's just crazy how that works. And it, again, but it, John, it really doesn't make any difference. This is not the most important election of our lifetime. After this election, I think there's going to be all kinds of trouble between now and the next 2 years. We are going to look, that $7.2 billion or whatever it was that the president is spending, that's inflationary. And that's going to be blamed, if the Republicans win, that's going to be blamed on the Republicans. And they're going to use that to run for the next 2 years.
All right. No, that's great. I appreciate you bringing that up. And I appreciate you jumping on the show with us real quick. Thanks, JR.
All right, brother. Thank you.
All right. Hey, my good friend Robert Owens, looks like he's with us here reporting live. I've known Robert. He actually helped me run for House of Representatives in Ohio in 2006. John Birch Society has been on the trail of the communists since like the 1950s. So, Robert, welcome to the show. Tell us where you're coming from.
Hey, John, how are you?
Good. Where are you at?
So I am at the J.R. Majewski Victory Headquarters, and we are ready to unseat Marcy Kaptur. We like to call her Marxie Kaptur. Marxie, she's a Marxist. So we're looking to boot her off after 38 years of just continually wasting the people's money.
That's great. Have you got any? We knew DeWine was going to win. I mean, because, you know, what other choice you have other than the Democrats. So they didn't get involved in the primaries to try to unseat him. But how's the rest of the state looking to you? Getting a chance to follow any of it there?
Well, you know, here's the good news. The good news is that the General Assembly is going to be, generally speaking, more conservative than it has been. I mean, it's, when you have Bob Cupp as your Speaker of the House, you're going to be limited as to what can happen. So the fact that he's going to be term limited and gone is a benefit. Derek Merritt, actually from the Toledo area, is one to watch there. Potential new Speaker of the House in the next General Assembly. So his campaign is very important. The big one to watch as to whether or not Ohio is really going to make a difference is in the Ohio 9th Congressional District with J.R. Majewski. If we win this race, we pull this off, man, that's going to be a big step. And then, up in Michigan, the race to watch is the Christina Caramo race for Secretary of State. She is the real deal. She is a true Christian warrior, a powerful woman. If they're going to really see changes at the Secretary of State level and in election integrity in Michigan, it's going to happen under Christina Caramo. So that's a big race to watch there. And then the Proposition 3. Boy, I'll tell you what, John, I don't feel good about what's going to happen with this Proposition 3 in Michigan. But we have to understand that, you know, if the people don't get it, if they don't understand, we're going to have a big problem. Because there's going to be no accountability at any level of politics until there's accountability at the electorate level, John.
Yeah, and a lot of people, I think, are even starting to understand how important, like, Secretary of State and Attorney General is. Secretary of State handles the elections. Pennsylvania was already told by the Supreme Court that mail-in ballots are illegal, and they're still going through with it. So they're just ignoring the courts. The Attorney General, I mean, look what's happening in some of these states. They arrest people for violent crimes, and they just release them on the streets the next day. So, I mean, all of these are very, very important.
It's totally lawless what these folks are up to. We've seen this time and again. And so, you know, until there's a sufficient number of people that are going to say, look, no longer on my watch are we going to put up with this, we're going to see the situation get worse. But hopefully we're going to make some progress, and we'll have a couple bully pulpits to hang on to really make it difference going forward.
Yeah, without a doubt. So, Robert, you've been, like I said, you've been involved in this a long time. You're now with the John Birch Society. Just give us a little kind of 2-minute rundown on the John Birch Society and how people can join and follow all the resources you have.
Yeah, so I'll tell you what, the big thing is this. When this election is done, the hard work begins.
Right.
Even if you've got elected a great constitutionalist, the hard work begins. And if you really want to make a long-term difference, Join with the John Birch Society. We will provide organized discipline and intelligence information. And our goal is not to aggrandize the John Birch Society. Our goal is to make sure that we raise you up and make you politically relevant, that statesmen in your community love you and politicians fear you. That's our goal.
Amen, brother. Hey, look, pleasure having you on the today. Looks like the red wave is kind of going. Republicans are up 30-17 on the House seat. So we'll keep praying that that stays the same.
Hey, J.R. Majewski just walked in. So, hey, thanks, John, and pray for us. And pray for those that win, because the establishment is going to want to take them out for sure.
Amen.
No
thanks
question
for,
about it.
Thanks for being on tonight, brother. All right, God bless. Well, we got a special treat. Our friends, the Resistance Chicks, if you watch Brady on TV, they've become dear friends of me and my family, and my boys love them, and they just gave them the treat of a lifetime. So, Leigh and Michelle, welcome to the program.
Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, John, it's so good to be here. Man, today's been an incredible day so far, and it's going to be a nail biter as we wait for the rest of these shoes to drop. We've got a lot of places that are still kind of reporting the drop-ins, right? We don't have the same day votes being counted yet, and a lot of people are nail biting because of what's happening. We live in Ohio, right, with J.D. Vance, and everyone's kind of terrified. Oh, look, and we've got all the fear mongers out there.
J.D. Vance is fine.
J.D. Vance is going to be fine. He's going to win. You've got that Senate seat to count.
Here's the thing. They already called the race for Mike DeWine as governor.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people didn't really want to vote for J.D. Vance. A lot of people didn't want to vote for Mike DeWine either. So if Mike DeWine pulled it out, then J.D. Vance is not going to have a problem.
Yeah, I mean, Trump was stumping here in Ohio for him last
night. He was just in Dayton last night.
So I feel pretty confident about the J.D. Vance there here in Ohio.
That's good. And I know you've been holding a lot of different rallies and meetings and meet the candidates. And again, you bring the spiritual aspect to it. It's just like, let's pray for these people and ask God who he wants. Man, we've left him out of that process, haven't we?
We have absolutely left him out of that process.
And you know what? This is what I've been telling people all year long, whether it's the governor's race, which we were heavily involved in, and the Patriot Candidates event that we did, is that these seats are demonically held.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who holds that seat until we pull down these demonic principalities and strongholds. Even if a good person gets in that seat, if we as the body of Christ don't do our job, that person will be corrupted. Leah, tell them about the speakers of the House in Ohio here.
The last three of our four of our speakers of the House have had to resign because of corruption. And those were all Republicans. So, guys, we are seeing a wave. We are seeing a red tsunami.
But it won't do any good unless we pull down the demonic strongholds, because those seats, those people, things can happen to them. They can become corrupted. We as the church have to do what we need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I agree. And this is what I've told pastors, especially House of Representatives. There's churches big enough to elect their representatives and choose their representative every year. You just get two or three churches together and say, look, we're going to decide who's representing us and not leave it to everybody else.
You know, I was praying today and I heard the Lord say, well done, team. There is a team. There is something that's happening. There is a shift. Okay. I voted. I got a shirt on that says, y'all need Jesus. A viewer sent this to me. You're not supposed to go electioneering for your candidate. I did. I voted for Jesus this time around. And actually, that's where we need to be putting our focus, and recognizing that Michelle said something on the phone with Scott Kesterson today. Our representatives are representative of who we are.
That's right.
If we have bad representatives, that's because the church is not doing
their job.
But I do believe that we have done a job, that Christians, that conservatives, that people who don't want kids to have their genitals mutilated, that people who don't stand behind, you know, defunding the police, the people who the abortion issue was not actually, the majority of people are okay with ending Roe v. Wade. That was not a strong turnout.
You just throw it back to the states.
Yeah.
That's all we're doing.
So, yeah, I'm very excited about today because I'm feeling a shift in the spirit. And I would say I would stay cautiously optimistic, because as you see this red wave, there's something that's happening. The We're talking about the red blood of Jesus. Last night there was a red blood moon. We are going to see a red wave. Now, what does that mean? It means I believe that the blood of Jesus is covering this country.
Come on.
And we as Christians, we can ride the wave or we can fall off the board. It's up to us. And I would say, dear God, help us to ride this wave. Help us to do what you've called us to do, because we know it's a lame duck session. We know even if the Republicans start to hold hearings, like, what good is that? They didn't do any good when they held all three houses, okay? You know what makes a difference? When we call upon God.
Amen.
And because we will have those Republicans in place, then spiritually we can make things happen, okay? Spiritually, we can make things happen, but we still have to do, once they're in place, then we've got to get on our faces before God and demand that the any sort of principality of powers, they get out of the way and begin to call those things that be not as though they were. You know, there's a scripture that says, what you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. We need to start binding the strong men and loosing the power of God. And so we got to say, you know what? Mike DeWine, lockdown DeWine, okay, you're our governor. But you know what? You're not going to govern me. Jesus Christ is going to govern me. You're not going to lock me down again. You're not going to mask me up again. And you're not going to have a lottery for vaccines in the name of Jesus, okay? And so this is the kind of power and authority that we need to have and we need to exercise. And I actually love that we can say that here on Bright
End. And I want to tell you guys one more thing before we throw it back to John here. The same thing that I just said about whether if a seat is demonically held, it doesn't matter if a good person holds it, they'll be corrupted. The same thing holds true no matter if an evil person gets into a seat that we have already claimed in the name of Jesus, they can't sit it. It's like a hot potato. They got to get out. They can't stay there. And if they do stay there, they are going to be forced to govern the way that God governs. And God's will on heaven, that's happening in heaven right now, will be executed here on earth. And that is our job in the kingdom of God. I'll tell you, the most important vote that you will ever cast is in the courtrooms of heaven. And then you walk into your polling place and you stake that claim on earth as it is in heaven. And John, that is the strategic plan that the body of Christ needs to have going forward into every single election, midterms, primaries, or general.
Oh, that is great. Hey, girls, I appreciate you coming on. You've been such a blessing to me and my family. We're going to jump on to our next guest. Thanks for coming on. Love you guys.
All right. Thanks.
All right. We got Corey and Clifford coming in from Washington, D.C. We've had some technical difficulties with her, but we've got her on. Very important, independent citizen journalist, and we're going to bring her on. She's at the, I think, the mayor's race. Corey, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right.
I'm with Stacia Hall. She's running for mayor of D.C., Republican. The problem with Washington, D.C. is that they haven't updated their voter rolls, their voter lists for over 10 years. So we can't tell if this vote is going to be real or fake. There's no way to audit it.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. I think there's some places where the Democrats have had a stronghold for years. They've got such a lock on it that we may never have a fair election in some of these places again. But we definitely need to push back in the areas that we do. So, I mean, you show a lot of tenacity being out there and standing toe to toe in D.C. because I've been following you for a little while and following your stories. You go and sit in the J6 hearings and things like that. So you're doing great work in D.C. That's the belly of the beast.
Yes, I was just in federal court for the Oath Keepers trial. I was at the Capitol today. I go to Supreme Court. I'm at the White House. I'm all over Washington, D.C., boots on the ground, heels on the ground, 24/7 for you, Dr. Diamond, anytime you need me.
Yeah, that's great stuff, and that's what we need to do. And I mean, you and I have talked about this. I've had you on. We need to raise up that new next generation of citizen journalists. We need people like you. You know, the thing that it really jumped out to me that I understood we need people like you was when COVID hit and they were reporting all the hospitals are full, and some guy came down with his cell phone and went out and said, "There's nobody here." So that's why we need introduce us to your guests there.
This is Stacia Hall. She's running for Republican mayor of Washington, D.C.
Well, congratulations. You have got one uphill battle ahead of you.
Oh, no, it's not. It's actually working out for all of us.
Well, that's good because you're getting your voice out there. You're giving the other side of it. I'm glad to see that you decided to stick your. What made you stick your hat in the ring?
Wasn't afraid because I felt like the city and the residents deserved it. And so I'm still fighting, and we're waiting to see what the results are.
Well, that's
we're still waiting for diamonds.
When do they think they're going to announce? Do they know?
We don't know. Anytime now. She may win.
Yeah, it's
we're
like,
praying. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Pray.
There are. I thought by now they would have given us some kind of, update, but they won't give us any update. They've given us updates for the D.C. council members, but none for the mayoral run.
Yeah, they certainly don't want to give that one up, do they? So, I mean, there may be some shenanigans afoot. So, no, we're going to be praying for you to be successful. We know who runs the earth, right? We know there's a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords and a Judge of Judges. And that's what we need. We need more people like you that carry that mantle and have the courage to go toe-to-toe with them.
Yeah, that's the lion.
By the power of Jesus Christ, JCM may win.
So we're just hoping and we're praying, and I've gotten messages from voters that said, I voted for you today. I'm fasting and praying for you. And I actually fasted all the way through the evening just so that I can stay in a good place emotionally. So we're just praying for the best, and I expect to win because I got the best. I got the best people with me, and so either way, I expect to win.
Well, good. I just got handed a note here, a little update on the national level. The Republicans are up 40-21 in the House. So it looks like we're going to take the people's house back. The Senate is pretty close, but we'll see how that pans out. The further they move west, the more red it gets, at least until they get to California. So if we can be up by a substantial margin before we get to California and Washington and Oregon, I mean, there's been predictions that they're going to take the Senate and the House. This red wave may be a reality. Ladies, I hope that red wave hits you.
Yes, the red wave. Yes.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yes. Yeah, the blood of Jesus. Yeah,
by the power of Jesus, the red wave is going to take over the United States of America.
Yeah.
I tell you what, you're not going to hear that on CNN, are you?
Only on Brighton TV. Yes.
Well, then, and that's the way I open the show, because the left is trying to paint everybody on the right as just these Christian nationalists. And I'm like, what is your other option? A satanic globalist? I mean, those are your two choices, right? You got Christian nationalism and satanic globalism. And that's what the world want, the World Economic Forum and all of them are trying to usher in. So it's going to take people like you on the ground, both in politics and in journalism, that helps fight back these lies from the devil.
Yes, so we're standing in D.C. in the power of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
And standing in the gap, absolutely.
Yes, we're standing in the gap.
Well, good. Well, we know the Word of God teaches us that there's powers and principalities, and there's stronger principalities over certain cities. And I tell you what, the principality that's got to be over D.C. and Washington, D.C.
I agree with that. And all I could say is, Lord, that our principality would rise up and that we will take a seat and declare the lordship of the King of Glory in America and in the nation's capital. And I'm just believing that, because we got a few short years before this thing just flips for the worst. But I know that before that time, I know from the joy of the Lord that there's going to be a period where his people will rule, and we're going to bring a lot of people to the faith, and we're going to bring a lot of people to Christ, and it's not going to be total disaster before his return. I'm just trusting that.
All right. Well, look, you guys are doing great work. I appreciate it. Sorry for the delay getting you on there. It's a moving target here. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you,
Dr.
Much.
Diamond. We'll be here all night for you.
I always love talking about the Lord.
All right.
Sometimes.
All right. Well, if you get some election results, try to pop in and we'll see where we're at. Thanks for being on, ladies.
Okay. We will. Thank you. We love Brighty and
Steve. All right. Awesome. Well, I want to remind you of something that we were talking about there for well, we got a little bit of time left. But if you remember in the story in Daniel, when Daniel was praying, and God said, I heard your prayer the second you prayed it, but there was a principality that was keeping that answer to get down there, right? A major principality. And God had to send the Archangel Michael to run interference. So there's a war going on. There's a war going on in the heavenlies. And you got to understand that your prayers are very important, because every time you pray, the enemy's got to run interference. He's got a limited army, right? So if all of us are praying, you know, they can only keep some of them players from trying to get through. So there's a war going on in the heavenlies. We're fighting against powers and principalities. Keep praying. We're going to take this country back. We will be right back after this break.